And we are waiting with great excitement and anticipation to hear what God is saying through Luke. Give him a big welcome.
Morning. My name's Luke. Nice to see you. Some new faces as well. It's great for you to be joining us this morning. I was out preparing this morning, and then I felt like God was changing my sermon as people were sharing today. So that's a fun one. But Joe's gone for an hour, so we can go for that long, hey? No, I'm joking. But enough, there's a little tagline. I'll give you why enough is called enough, because it's not because we've had enough prayer. It's because it's gathering people from around the world to pray because they've had enough of the brokenness they see in the world and they believe that God is enough to fix those problems. So that is the purpose of enough. So next time, there we go. That's good, isn't it? It's not because we want to pray because we've had enough and then we need to get it over and done with. That is not the point. So at the moment as a church, we are doing Alpha, as Nick said. Everyone doing Alpha. It's great. It's really encouraging to be looking at these topics together with different people and be able to discuss what kind of God might be saying through that. And yeah, it's really exciting. So our sermons on Sunday have been tracking with what the topic on. So I have the privilege of talking about prayer this morning. And when I was preparing this, I was like, where do I even start talking about prayer? Because prayer is like it's like everything. And I read this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. And it says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. I think that's so true for us. We don't think about breathing. Or you might do occasionally when you need to calm down or something like that, or you've done a bit of exercise and you're hyperventilating. But generally, we don't think about breathing. Actually, the point is, right, prayer should become such a key part of our life. So my sermon today is called, What's the Point of Prayer? What's the point? What do we gain from that? And I asked a few people in the church, I asked them, why is prayer important to you? And I asked them to try and summarize it in a one sentence. So here's a few of what people sent back to me. If we can have the first one up, Phil, please. Yeah, I love this one. This was one of the first ones I got. Prayer is a lifeline for communicating with the Lord and leaning on him and keeping me from sin. But in the overall sense, it's both a privilege and a means of God demonstrating his mercy and openness. That's from someone. We've got another one. Prayer is important to me because it brings peace into my day. Amen. We've got another one. Prayer is important to me because it is a means of communication to the Father and Jesus, who I love. Yeah, amen for that one. Prayer has given me a vehicle to speak to my Creator. And I've got one more thing. Prayer is the main engine of my spiritual life. And then I got one last text through this morning, which I'll share with you. Prayer is my link to God, my only hope. Special, right? This is people you know and would have chatted to. But the importance of prayer, this isn't just me saying things. This is how it affects different people. So I'm going to pray and we'll jump into God's word. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to understand why prayer is so important. Help it to be this thing that is like breathing, Lord, so crucial to our spiritual life, our knowing you. Pray that all the words that I'd prepared, Lord, that whatever you want to say this morning, you would say. Help us to all see you in your glory this morning. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to sort of do this sermon in two parts. One is a sort of just a dive into what the Bible says about prayer. And then I'm going to look at Psalm 23 and how that is kind of like a really helpful model for us when we're looking at prayer. And obviously, lots of times, if you've been in Christian circles, we'll use the Lord's Prayer. But actually, I was just stirred by Psalm 23 this week. And then Sarah came back from the prayer meeting on Tuesday and said, we prayed about Psalm 23 as I was preparing my sermon. I was like, cool. Well, maybe, Lord, let's do Psalm 23 together. So that's how we're going to do it. So this first part of the sermon is, and Nick said it so helpfully, he gave this example, Pete Gregg. Prayer, I think, is vital for giving us perspective on what God is doing. Me and Nick hadn't even spoken about how I was going to speak this morning, but he said, gave that example, if we've got to put down the microscope to see what God is doing. And I completely endorse that. I took some pictures on Google Images of this morning. So this is us in the church in Bassett Street. So we know we are, what, there's 50 of us or so in this room. Then we can go to the next slide. That's kind of like the Queen's Crescent surrounding area. Then we go further out, London. Then we go further out, the UK. And we go further out, the kind of the what I could fit on Google Maps. Then we go further out, the globe. Then we go further out, the Milky Way.
Enough.
But the point is, we are very small in the perspective of this. So in here, we feel quite big. Maybe you're at home. Maybe there were things you were stressing about this morning. I was stressing about getting my kids out of the house this morning. We had one weeing on the carpet and one not wanting to get dressed. And it was like, from my perspective, at that moment, I was like, kids, let's just get to church because daddy's doing the talk and he needs to get the slides ready. But when we see it in this perspective, you kind of go, okay, I'm quite small. But then at the same time, we hear these beautiful prayers answered this morning. Joanna sharing about this job situation. Jan is stuck in someone's garden. So the God who created all of this cares about the little things as well. So you see, and the reason I want to show this is because so much of our perspective in prayer is understanding that we are part of God's big story. God's big story for salvation for this earth. This Bible, you might have a Bible, is that too? It's showing God's salvation plan for this earth. That God created a perfect world with humans in it to have relationship with him. As humans, we turned away. We said, okay, we'll do our own thing. But then God sent Jesus into this earth to say, no, I really want you. I really want to be in relationship with you. I will make a way by sending my son that time you've turned away, that time you've rejected me, I will forgive you of that. I will forgive you of those times so that you can come back into relationship with me. And he says that one day he will return. Jesus will return to bring everyone back to him. And we are in this period of Jesus having ascended to heaven and one day being drawn back to him. We are basically in the last few pages of the waiting period of your Bibles. Actually, we are part of God's salvation story here in Bassett Street. If we go back into the zooming into Bassett Street, we are part of God's plan for this area. God's plan for what he's doing to bring it all back to him. In Ephesians, it says, we have access to the Father through Jesus. In Psalm 145, it said, the Lord is near to all those who call on him. So we have access to the creator of that universe. But who has sat down with Keir Starmer, our local MP? No one? Who has sat down with the Queen? But who might have prayed this morning to the creator of the universe? That's ridiculous, right? When you actually start to say it out loud, you go, hang on, I sometimes can't even speak to the manager at a shop or something like that. But we have free access to God because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has made a way. So why does praying, as I've been preparing this week, feel like it brings perspective? Well, it so much is about bringing us in line with understanding what God is doing, understanding the will of God, bringing our lives into his great plan. What the Bible has been talking about, how do we fit into that? Not, I'm going to do my own little thing. Oh, God, bless it. No. God, what are you doing? How can I fit into your grand plan? Maybe you've got a plan for my neighbor, my sister, my husband to be saved, and I'm part of that. What an honor and a privilege. And I think so much of prayer is bringing our hearts before him. Who's heard the phrase, like a problem shared, a problem halved? Yeah, you heard that phrase? Well, Jesus said, cast your burdens onto him and he will make it light. That's not something that the world, Jesus said that. Cast your cares onto him. Cast your burdens onto him because he cares. Psalm 37 is a quote that I have heard misquoted hundreds of times. So people like this bit, people like saying, God will give you the desires of your hearts. Who's even had someone go, oh, well, you can pray and God will give you the desires of heart. I've heard that. But the most important thing they miss is the take delight in the Lord. It's not just ask God and he'll give it to you. It's no, Take delight in the Lord. Come in line with what he's doing. Seek his will, and he will give you the desires of those. As your heart becomes aligned with what he's doing. Not, God, come on, this is what I really want. I want that new car, or I want that new job. It's not that. It's like, we come back in line with God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, in Romans 8:26, so this is again helpful in prayer. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray like we ought. Who sometimes feels like they don't even know what to pray? I've got into this habit when I'm speaking on Sundays. I like to go for a little wander around Queen's Crescent, and I wander up to Gales and get myself a cinnamon bun and a flat white, and then I go and sit on Hampstead Heath. And I was like praying, Lord, I don't even know what to pray this morning. Pray that you'd help me. You just like, the Holy Spirit helps on our weakness. Me and Sarah went and saw the new Top Gun last night, and it said, don't think, just do. That was one of the phrases they kept saying, don't think, just do. That could be on our encouragement for prayer. Don't think, just do. Don't overthink the prayers. You're speaking to, like, if you think you can get a good prayer before the Creator of heaven, I wouldn't bother. Even if you're the most articulate writer, the best orator, the best speaker, do you think God is going to be really impressed with what you can present as a prayer? It's all right. It's all right. Don't think, just do. I've done it a few times with these, have you seen these electric bikes around London at the moment? Yeah? That's like the Holy Spirit helping us in our weakness. Yeah? You cycle up Camden High Street on one of those bikes without the electricity on, that's hard work. You flick the electricity switch on, you're flying. Think of it like that, going, I wouldn't be able to do this, but the Holy Spirit just helps us. Helps us in our weakness. So we're going to look at Psalm 23. I'd love it if we can read it together. The words will come up on the screen behind me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So you might want to get this up on your phone so you can follow along, or if you've got a Bible with you, because I'm basically going to work through line by line and sort of say how this can really help us in our prayer life and what David the psalmist is doing here. So what I'm talking about, perspective, that's where David starts. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. That's where he starts, and there's a few scriptures that will help us in this. Psalm 33, I think, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. The Lord, his plans, his purposes stand forever. This is who we're coming to. Then we've got a next one from Deuteronomy. It says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. That's who we're coming to when we're praying. That creator of the universe, the rock, the one who has planned anything, everything. That's the perspective we want to come to. It's not just customer service. It's not. It's the Lord, the creator. And then David acknowledges him, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, we don't really have many shepherds here in London. But I think we probably all get the concept of a shepherd. They look after the sheep. They're protectors, providers. The sheep follow. David is saying, the Lord, the creator of everything, I will follow you. I will trust you to provide for everything I need. And then the next bit, I shall not want, I lack nothing. He's saying he's satisfied. He's fulfilled, completely content. Because he knows who he's coming to. He's not saying I'm content in of myself. He's just saying I'm content in you. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus has just been talking about what it looks like to be anxious. and not to be anxious. And Jesus' answer to people not being anxious is to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and he will supply for all our needs. So it doesn't say that he'll provide for all your wants. He said provide for all your needs, but to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus is encouraging us to get the right perspective. Take a step back, seek first God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's what we do at our prayer meetings. We've got how many? We've got 5 opportunities to pray this week, and all of it is about getting perspective. We will start every one of those with an encouragement, looking to God. We don't come with our needs first. We come with God. We want to draw near to you. Then we have this little run in the psalm where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. It's that shepherd just tenderly loving us as we've acknowledged, Lord, help. I'm acknowledging you as Lord and King of all. The lying down, he gives us rest. That's what David's acknowledging, that the Lord gives us rest. As we come before him, as we cast those burdens onto him, he gives us rest. He leads us. Who needs help in decision making? Where they might live, where they might, what they might do in the next few months. They might be having a job offer. How do I deal with that? God leads us. He restores us, forgives us. Sometimes we can just need an element of restoring, being restored, being healed. God does that. And he guides us in prayers of righteousness, in ways of righteousness. Matthew 6 verse 7 says, don't heap up empty prayers. Essentially, don't use like loads of words unnecessarily, because God already knows what you need before you ask them. He already knows. We're not revealing anything to God in our prayers that he didn't already know or wasn't already aware of. Again, helps us with our perspective. We're not suddenly, God, I hope you're aware. I hope you're aware of what's going on in my life. It's like, he knows. He made you. He made you. And I think it's important. I don't know if you've been following the news a bit in America at the moment with the whole Roe Wade case and abortion being illegal and not legal, all that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes as Christians we can get a rap for being very, it's either this or this. And I think things are complicated, and I think that's where we need God to lead us and guide us. And I don't think we should just necessarily put stakes in the ground. This is what we believe. This is wrong. This is da da da. I don't think Jesus did that. So, now, we have to bring things back to scripture, but I think there's lots of contexts and lots of different kind of situations where we need God to lead us, where we need God to guide us, where we need to be humble enough to go, I haven't got the right answer. That's okay. But I think it's really important. You see in this whole political landscape we're in the UK, it's polarized. It's either this or this. Jesus wasn't really like that. Jesus told us to love the Lord our God and to love others. And I think we need to work out how we do that. And I don't think it's a problem to have political views. I'm not saying that. But I think it's really important we don't get so locked into certain things, because you suddenly start, it becomes our will and not God's will. God knows what we need before we even ask. As we move through the psalm, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now in John, it's talked about Jesus coming, becoming the light, coming into the darkness. Now you might have seasons where it feels like you are walking through a valley of darkness. That is true. But it's also important that actually the world can look very dark. The world can look like a place where you're like, how is this even allowed? But we will fear no evil. Not because of our strength, not because of our might, not because of anything clever we can do. Because God, the Creator, is with us. Now it doesn't, again, it's not promising it will be easy. It doesn't promise it will be easy. But it does promise that God will be with us. I think it's whatever situations we're facing, times of hardship, times of stress, We must know that God is with us. And interestingly, he's led us in that way. For some reason or another, he has allowed that to happen. Because we believe that God is in control. There's not like a halfway house of God is in control of some things and not others. God is either in complete control or not. As believers, we believe that God is in control. He is. That doesn't mean we always understand, which is why we have to be able to take a step back sometimes and get the perspective. And I know from my own challenges, sometimes you don't really get that perspective to many years on. So I want to be really clear that if you're facing times of challenge at the moment, I'm not saying, come on, get a grip. That's not the reality. And God is in those moments. God is with us in those moments. And only sometimes years on where you might be able to look back and start to go, I can see what God is doing there, was doing there, despite it being very hard. Not mitigating what might be going on in your life. I think it's just important to say that. But we must know that God is always with us. And it says, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now, rods and staff, if you've ever watched a video of a shepherd or something like that, rods and staff, they actually provide a bit of discipline, a bit of guiding, good whack sometimes. I know you're not really allowed to do that with your children anymore. But actually, that's what he's saying. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because actually, I think God kind of revealing our hearts to ourselves is actually his way of showing he cares. Sarah and I will say to our kids, we are disciplining you. We are not letting you watch TV or something like this. And they say, it's so unfair. And they go, do you know what? We love you and we want you to grow and we want you to mature. And part of that is we will discipline you. We will withdraw things from you so that you learn that that is not a good thing. The same way God does that with us. His rod and his staff, that should be a comfort to us. If you've ever felt rebuked by God or someone challenged you on something, you're like, oh, that's okay. Because we say to our kids, if we didn't love you, we wouldn't discipline you. Because what would be the point? We're gaining nothing really from that. We're just being harsh. But you do it out of love. You do it because you want to see people grow. God does the same with us. But he comforts us, doesn't it? I was thinking of like the rod and staff, and I think what we have, because again, Jesus isn't here on earth with us, so he's not going to have a rod and a staff to help us. But actually, we have his word, and we have his spirit. If you're like, I need some guidance, God, would you lead me? Would you comfort me? You got your Bible? You can read that. There will be some encouragement, I'm sure, in there. And the Holy Spirit is given as the helper, to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us. That's his rod and his staff. That's what we have. That's what it looks like in our lives now. So we can walk through this valley, through these times of trouble, with trust and obedience to him, because you know he's with us, leading us, guiding us. And then the psalm switches a little bit. It goes from being a shepherd to being like a host. David talks about God preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is preparing a table before us in heaven, where one day Jesus will return and we will be with him in glory. David's recognizing, God, you're preparing something for us. Here's an interesting one. In the presence of my enemies. Now, in David's context, this was probably people who were trying to kill him. Now, I'm not aware of everyone's situations, but I don't imagine there's many people here, people are actually trying to kill you at this point in time. But there's two things of being in the presence of your enemies. There's one, they might be trying to get you, but there also might be my enemies. Why do I? What am I holding against them? In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive others as God has forgiven you. Actually, there's a call on us to forgive. To forgive. Because actually, we shouldn't be holding grudges as Christians. We shouldn't be holding people to account. Should be holding people to account, but we shouldn't be holding unforgiveness in our hearts. Because actually, we're all going to be at a table before. With each other. With Jesus. We will stand before Jesus and he might go to you, why didn't you forgive that person? I don't want to give that answer. But there's a point. Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a table for us.
Actually, we want to get right in our heart. Then David writes, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." That anointing, that blessing us, that forgiving us, that washing us. Man, that's beautiful. Our cup overflowing with this love and mercy that we receive from Jesus. Do you feel like in your life you are overflowing with love and mercy? I definitely don't. But that's not on God, that's on me. How much am I coming back to Him? How much am I just bringing myself and my wants and requests before Him rather than actually going, "Lord, what have you got? What have you got for me?" We have our kids, they might ask for certain things. You're actually like, "We've got a better thing here, but if that's what you really want." What are we missing out on by just coming to God with our requests rather than coming before Him? And the psalm finishes with this sort of realization of what it means to trust in the Lord. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we trust Him, as we allow Him to lead us, to guide us, to shape us, as we acknowledge there's a time coming where we'll be in a table with Him. We've sought forgiveness, we've given forgiveness. That goodness, that mercy, that steadfast love will follow us. And one day we'll be with the Lord. We can say that because we know who God is. We can have confidence in Him. Confidence that the God who created the universe cares about us, loves us. I'd love us what our prayer lives to look like. Wake up in the morning, "Lord, I'm alive. Thank you that you're going to lead me, guide me today. Lord, whatever may come, I'm going to forgive, choose to love, because I know that your goodness and love will follow me today." If all of us woke up every day and did that, I think our days would start to look extraordinary, because God would lead us, God would guide us. I so often get to decision making. I was challenged this week as I was making some decisions about work. And the way, I don't know, God seems to speak to me in my prayers, it's almost like I ask Him questions, and before I've even got to the end of asking the questions, it's almost like the answer's in my head. But it's because God already knows what we need before we ask. I know God speaks to different people differently, but I sometimes feel like I've got this internal dialogue going on where I'm asking a question and God's interrupting, going, "Yeah, you know what to do." And normally the answer is, "Well, you just got to trust me. And you got to seek me first." And I'm going, "But what about this?" "Well, just trust me." You're like, "Yeah, I know that. I know that's the answer. But just trust me." I know that's the answer. But but what's the real answer? Nick and I and Bob have been, over the last year or so, been praying what it means for us to be as a church. What would we like, essentially like our thumbprint as a church to be marked out by? One of the things we just always keep coming back to is we want to be a church that above all prioritise prayer. We were even messaging this week going, should we stop the Tuesday evening prayer meeting because we've got enough on Friday night? And we're like, nah, let's just pray. Now we know that's not always convenient for people's diaries, but prayer, to be honest, is never really convenient. Do you want to get up early to pray? Oh, where the snooze can look very tempting. Or you might go, "I'm going to pray on my lunch break." But then a colleague says, "Oh, should we go and get lunch together?" You might be like us and you've got children, you're trying to navigate that. And children, however early Sarah and I try and get up, the children seem to get up about that time. That Tuesday evening, there's always going to be things that could get in the way. Friday night, there's always going to be things that can get in the way. There's always things that are going to be trying to fight for us to come before God. Because actually, Satan doesn't want us to get God's perspective on things. Why would he? Why would he allow a whole amazing group of believers to get on the right page, to understand God's will? That's powerful. He's going to try and throw things in the way. Whether it's I haven't eaten my dinner or I've got to stay late at work or whatever, there's going to be things thrown in. But we must make every effort. We must fight for those things to come before the Lord. And we're not saying this is anything new, really, that the church that meets here has been doing. We've got this picture, which we've shown before. I think this is Ruth's mum, right? It's a beautiful picture. You probably can't read what it says here, but it says, young Christian workers, do you want revival? This is your opportunity to come and pray for it. These men and women got the perspective of God is doing something bigger than beyond them. Do we want revival? Do we want to see people coming to save? I look around this room and I don't reckon anyone in this room was born when this photo was taken. Not even Nick. Forgive me. There we go. But it's amazing, right? This isn't like something we have done. This is people have been meeting, probably a room in this building. We want to see a revival. The same prayer is for us now. We want to see God move. You want to see God move in your lives? You want to see God move in the lives of Queen's Crescent, in Camden, in your location where you are? We want to pray for it. They got God's perspective. This wasn't about them. This wasn't about them. This was, do you want to see a revival? Come and pray for it. That's the thing. We want to understand that we are part of a bigger perspective. God is doing something. Even though there's challenges in your life, God is growing you, shaping you, molding you to be the men and women that God has for you to be. And we sort of have to let him do it sometimes. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes you look back and go, thank you. I think it's really important that we remember when we come in prayer, it's about getting God's perspective, understanding his will for us. I'm going to finish reading this scripture. It's from 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, this is it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. This is the commendation to the church. So it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As a church, we want to be in the will of God. We want to do that. We want to be doing what he's got for your own life. We want to be doing what he's got for us as a church. The key thing, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. I'd love us to finish this morning by praying together. I feel like that's a good way to finish a sermon on prayer. And what I'd love us to do is, if it's okay, to maybe get into like groups of like three or four, and just give God thanks. Just start at that place. Maybe there's something I'll share, but start at the Lord, you are my shepherd. I lack nothing. And you might be in worldly sense feeling like you're lacking something, and that's okay, because it says God will provide. But it's actually, remember, we're coming to the one who can provide everything for us, everything we need. And then there might be needs that you'd love people to pray for, and that's okay, but let's encourage you. Let's start. We're just looking to God together, seeking him. And if you're new here and that feels like super weird, that's okay. Maybe just join a group and just see how other people pray. I find that sometimes the best way to see what's going on is just sit there and experience it. And if you don't want to do that, then that's okay as well. but yeah, why don't we break in? You can move the chairs, that's fine. I can reset them in a bit after. But get into little groups of three or four and just pray together. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you.